the trade day on the Fantasy Baseball Today podcast. Wednesday, May 28th. Welcome to the show. Everybody's trading George Springer. So let's grade some George Springer trades. We'll do that in a little bit. Fantasy Baseball Today live noon Eastern time on CBSSports.com/Fantasy Baseball Today. You can email us while the show is in progress. We answer a lot of questions. You can also call us. We'll have John Heyman on today as well to talk about some of the big storylines. I'm Adam Azer with Scott White, now Melchior. How's everybody feeling today?
I can actually respond definitively to the Springer trades now because I've updated my rankings. Updated my rankings. I know exactly where he stands for me. Number 28 outfielder. And I think it might be exactly the same. I think Al has him 28th, too, in one format.
One format. The other, I have him 23rd.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm guessing Roto, you have him 23rd?
That sounds correct.
Is he 28th in both formats for you, Scott?
He may be. If he's not, it's like just one spot difference.
26th in Roto.
Okay.
28th.
So, yeah.
In the points where you're penalized half a point for a strikeout. All right, so we'll get to those. How about a stat of the day to start the show? Ben Revere, it took him 1,466 at-bats, but he hit his first career home run. Congratulations.
Brought a tear to mine eye
and
when
I've been
I saw
told
it in thine box score.
He will be so proud when he shows up on our leaderboard on our show today.
I've been told there's a Twitter account, you can't predict baseball. You follow that?
I don't, no.
No, and didn't know it existed until 5 seconds ago.
I don't know if it's exactly that, but apparently, like, not long after Ben Revere hit his home run, they had technical difficulties, just coincidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And people were like, see, Ben Revere, look what you did.
Shut down the account.
Do you guys, basically, Ben Revere, an easy player, own him in a 5-outfielder league where you need steals, don't own him in a 3-outfielder league where you don't need steals?
Yeah, that sounds about right to me.
Okay, let's move on. Email of the day number one is from Toby Porter from Crick, Texas. These starters are pitching well at AAA. Are any worth adding in a 10-team head-to-head points keeper league? Straley, Heaney, Mike Fiers, Nate Karns, Taylor Hill.
If I'm owning one, it's Andrew Heaney, especially in a 10-team league.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's that's like the one who stands out as the prospect of the bunch. I don't know if there's enough keepers. If you keep enough players in this league to make it justifiable that you pick even him up, but he is the high one.
We're doing prospects today on the video show, so you're going to want to check that out. Tweet of the day number one is from Mark. Very difficult last name there, Mark.
We'll save that one for Herc tomorrow.
For Herc, yeah. Well, Mark wants to know, are you guys Burr-leavers yet? Spelled B-U-E-H-R-L-evers. Very good. This actually wasn't that great of a start.
Yeah,
start.
I'm becoming more of a Burley skeptic than ever, I think, with this start. The whip continues to rise. It was 1.5 with this start. I think it's 1.23. And that's going to catch up to him eventually. I know he's gotten by with a lower-than-usual home run rate. And that'll catch up to him, I think, too. Not that he's not going to eat innings and potentially win games for a team that looks like it might be a playoff contender, but I think this is still we're still seeing the high point of his value on the season as a whole.
Yeah, I was just say I believe that he will finish with a very similar line to past years.
So where do you guys have Burley in the 90s?
Yeah.
So that means you'd be okay dropping him.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. For somebody.
It does.
For many people.
I mean, the 9-1 record, he's way up in the points, obviously. But he's not going 27-3. You know, he might win 6 games the rest of the year.
And the Blue Jays are not going to make the playoffs, all you Toronto people out there. I'm just letting you know. Although Scott and Al think they might.
I do.
Think they will or they might?
Might.
They might. Their pitching depth is a concern, but I think their biggest contender is the Yankees, and you can say the same thing about them.
The Orioles might be their... I don't know.
No.
The Red Sox, I'm telling
See,
you.
There's not any good teams there.
That's a little weird.
The Rays, you never count out. The Red Sox can turn it around.
The Red Sox pitching is about as bad as the Orioles, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree.
Well, the Orioles don't have a Lester or a Lackey.
Well, that's a good. Yeah, that's true.
And I think the Red Sox are actually in better shape than the Orioles.
But they're the Orioles. I trust their 1-5 a little better.
I do too. Oh, you're saying the pitching.
Yeah.
The back of the Red Sox rotation is definitely a work in progress right now.
Hey, let me tell you a little story about John Lester.
You didn't miss Al's joke. It was the funniest he told all year.
Oh, sorry.
You missed it.
Well, it lives on in recorded history.
Go
John
back and
Lester,
listen.
Last seven starts, has a 4.30 ERA. And that includes an eight-inning shutout, one hit. Well, not a shutout, but eight innings of scoreless ball, one hit, two walks, and 15 strikeouts in that game against the A's. He's been fairly pedestrian other than that.
There was like a really bad start in there too, though, right?
Yeah, there was. But really, it just hasn't been that good.
On the fringes of quality.
Yeah.
Every time.
Well, like last time. Like last night. Six innings, eight hits, three runs, three walks, seven strikeouts. So is he back to being, a good pitcher, but not a great fantasy pitcher?
I'd say somewhere in between. I've got him ranked in my top 30. So I feel like he's a better pitcher this year than he's been in about three seasons. I am a little concerned about the control still, which has been better, but not throwing as many strikes as I'd like to see.
Okay, email of the day. Oh, we did the emails, so let's go back to the tweets. Tweet of the day number two is from Neil Silvera. Haven't heard much about Lorenzo Cain coming around. One-time intriguing prospect. Is he a post-hype sleeper?
He could be, but he hasn't really achieved that yet. He's hitting for average. He's stealing some bases. But part of the hype was based on some power potential that he really only showed when he was in AAA.
And I think at the PCL, right? The Brewers organization. So, what's their affiliate? It's in the PCL, whatever it is.
Because I thought that was Nashville.
Yeah.
Oh, that's okay.
I think that is the PCL.
Yeah.
As Pacific as we all think of
right,
Nashville
well, ever
being.
Since they merged with the American Association, those teams in the middle of the country, sometimes I misplace them.
You know what? Cain's owned in 26% of leagues. He's only 28 years old. He's batting .327. Would you drop Michael Bourne for Cain?
I don't know that I would, because Bourne has showed some signs too. I mean, I don't know that the sleeper appeal is high enough for Cain. Like he was a 26-year-old who put up good numbers in the PCL, basically, and he was included in a big trade for Greinke. So that was basically the extent of his hype. To me, it'd be like if somebody like Cole Calhoun, was terrible this year and next year and the year after, and then he suddenly did okay over a 4-week stretch in 2017. How would we react to that then? That's how I'm reacting to Cain now. And I need to see a lot more, except in deeper leagues.
Well, then, we'll move on. Coming up on the show, Carlos Gonzalez has another injury. We've got a lot of injury updates. Good news on Yordano Ventura and Noah Syndergaard. We'll talk about the Indians now that Carlos Santana is on the DL. The Matt Kemp situation changes as Carl Crawford's going on the DL with an ankle injury. The rest. Yanhervis Solarte's been cold. Justin Morneau's been slumping. Gordon Beckham continues to play well. He is batting .330 in May, so we'll get to all that. What stood out to you guys yesterday?
What stood out to me was Joaquin Soria blowing his first save of the year, and sometimes it takes a failure to make you appreciate success.
Okay.
And Soria's buried in the reliever rankings, but he's got a great strikeout-to-walk ratio. He hasn't pitched that much. Doesn't have the most saves, but it's his first blown save. Ratios are good. And I think he's been overlooked. He's only starting in about 70% of our leagues. And I think he could, when it's all said and done, if he pitches as well as he has, gets more opportunities, he could be right up there with the top relievers like he was several years ago.
Yeah, Soria and Britton both blew saves yesterday, and both were a little unlucky. Now, Soria probably should have walked out of that ninth inning having a blown save but only allowing one run. Instead, he allowed two with one earned run because he made an error on the last play of the game. Ended up being a walk-off on an infield little bleeder that he couldn't handle. Britton blew a save yesterday, gave up a leadoff single, sack bunt, got Elian Herrera, who was pinch-running for Lyle Overbay, over to second. Ryan Braun grounded out. Herrera goes to third. And then an infield single with two outs from Jonathan Lucroy scores the run to tie the game. So Britton gave up a hit, and that was it. Really pitched well. It ends up being two hits. One was an infield single. Bottom line, he got unlucky in that blown save. So I don't think you should panic if you own Britton. Anything else, guys?
Well, I was looking through your notes to see if you had it, and I'm not sure you do.
All right, bring it on.
No, you do.
Ryan Zimmerman?
Ryan Zimmerman, yep.
Yeah, I saw it in his update. Might play some outfield when he comes back.
Yeah, which they'd been denying up to this point, even though he was practicing in the outfield. Matt Williams is being kind of coy about it, saying...
Yeah, nothing to see here.
Saying, maybe he'll play some outfield, maybe he won't, kind of thing. But, you know, because Danny Espinosa has fallen off so much, I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen, but if it does, then that would keep Espinosa in the lineup, and he does have decent power-speed potential. And it would add to Zimmerman's eligibility, which, I mean, you'll probably play him at third, but the added eligibility doesn't hurt.
Yeah. Nope, certainly doesn't. So we don't really have a timetable, though, on Zimmerman, do we?
No, but it looks like it's going to be sooner than later. He's taking batting practice and everything, so he's on his way.
All right, this is not really terribly fantasy relevant, but both Carlos Quentin and Kevin Quackenbush played for the Padres.
Yeah.
And I tried to think of when's the last time there was a team with two players on the active roster with a Q last name.
Wow.
And the only one I could think of was Dan Quisenberry and, the catcher, Jamie Quirk, for the Royals back in the 80s.
Oh, shoot, that Jamie Quirk.
Ow.
He played a long time for the Royals. I was surprised when I looked that up.
I think you just revealed a quirk here.
Yeah. I never even heard of him, like, Jamie Quirk.
Yeah, because you
Is
were...
good?
No.
Oh, nah, I don't feel so dumb. He could probably hit for the Royals.
I mean, he was good
now,
enough
though.
To be a, you know, be a major leaguer. But.
Yeah. Well, how about Colin McHugh, Al? I know you've been...
It kind of has a Q.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, that was a perfect segue.
Colin McHugh.
You looked really annoyed when I said that, but I gave you a great segue.
No, I wasn't annoyed. I was just blown away.
Dumbfounded.
Very weird. Colin McHugh, 7 scoreless, 5 hits, no walks, 9 strikeouts at the Royals. He's got over a strikeout per inning, 12 walks, 50 Ks. And he got those 9 strikeouts against a Royals team that has the fewest strikeouts in terms of their hitters in baseball. So, wow. Who's
wow.
the best?
To both. To both McHugh and the Royals.
Yeah, I know. Well, they probably have the fewest home runs.
Look, something had to give there, and it was the Royals.
Yeah, I guess so. What do you guys think?
I moved McHugh way up. He's in my top 90 now. He's ahead of Burley now for me. I mean, he's 85th, so it's not like he's a must-own or anything. But there's been enough of this for long enough now that I need to at least acknowledge the possibility it could continue. I'm still skeptical because his one really bad start was the only time he faced a team for the second time.
Right.
He did have another so-so start against the White Sox, but that was more because he walked 4 batters. He still gave up only 3 hits in that game, so you know you could say he kind of pitched well. But the rest have just been great, and I think we need to start treating him as such.
The strikeouts against the Royals was really encouraging. I worry more about him against teams that can hit for power.
Well. Sunday it's going to be Baltimore, which is the second time he's facing Baltimore.
Yeah.
So it'll be a big test.
That'll be fun.
Yep.
And then he's got Minnesota on the road, who he's never faced. So even if he has a bad start on Sunday, maybe McHugh can bounce back next week at Minnesota, but we'll see what happens on Sunday for sure. So you would drop early for McHugh then, both of you?
Yeah.
He's owned in 37% of leagues. Would you rather have Rafael Montero or Colin McHugh?
I think I have McHugh like 3 spots behind Montero.
Yeah, it would be close for me too. Now I need to move McHugh up because I'm in the 120s, but I'll take Montero.
Lance Lynn threw a complete game shutout against the Yankees yesterday. Only 2 strikeouts.
Yeah, strikeouts have been down for him in general last few starts, but they've been good starts. 2 earned runs and 4... 200 runs or fewer in 4 of his last 5 starts. So it's kind of the streaky Lance Lynn, but you do miss the strikeouts because the reason you tolerate the so-so whip and ERA from him is for wins and strikeouts. So his overall rate is good, but he's less than must start even during this hot stretch.
And for what it's worth, the Yankees aren't a big strikeout team either. And 2 days ago, Michael Wacha only struck out two Yankees in seven innings. So the Yankees are making contact, everybody. But they weren't not really so much last night. And Max Scherzer, another bad start. Are you guys worried about Scherzer? He's in a legit slump right now. It's been, you know, four starts ago, four walks. Three starts ago, four walks. And the last two times out, he's gotten clobbered.
Helping Price's Cy Young chances.
Yeah, I know. And you know what else helped Price's Cy Young chances? Chris Sale only pitched three innings yesterday because of a rainout.
You and your Chris Sale, 180-inning Cy Young winner.
No, yesterday, or last time we spoke, I made the case that he could have over 190 innings, which is good enough to win
the
Cy Young.
Not if he's getting three because of rainouts.
Well, now I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Now he's down to 183. Oh, yeah, 85.
Whatever.
Yeah.
He's got to throw 10 innings that game.
Anyway, anybody worried about Scherzer?
No.
Okay. Good, because I didn't want to spend too much time on that. Anything else? Anything else?
Well, there's a lot else, Adam.
Yeah. Anything else that needs to be talked about now? Because you know
No, because there's stuff in the notes here. It's a tome you give us every morning.
It is a tome, T-O-M-E, but this is big.
Okay.
Carl Crawford.
Yeah.
Bad ankle.
Right. Looks like he's going to the DL. So Kemp still didn't start yesterday.
But the AP write-through of the game did acknowledge that they're just waiting until they feel like Kemp is comfortable in left field, and then they plan to play him there regularly. So
don't get too comfy there, Scott Van Slyke.
So there's a player whose value has changed so much in the last 24 hours.
Yes, and once I read that this morning, I was like, I may have downgraded him too much in the rankings.
Well, who knew? Who knew Carl Crawford would get injured? Well, besides all of us.
Yeah, but who knew it was going to happen?
Right.
One, you know, like 12 hours after we talked about it.
I wonder if it'll take so long for Kemp to get comfortable that Jock Peterson gets in the mix. I'm doubting it. But Jock Peterson is like the best player in the world, not named Gregory Polanco right now, because it's, you know, it's so apparent he's above the level he's at AAA Albuquerque.
Okay. Well,
I was just throwing that out there.
No,
not rushing to pick him up, but, you know, I don't know.
I don't know.
Kind of maybe, you know, after Polanco, Taveras, Singleton, Michael Franco, and then maybe you look at Jock Peterson.
Somebody put something in your Lucky Charms today.
I haven't eaten breakfast yet.
There you
actually.
Go. There you go.
This is breakfast provided day in the office.
Yeah. I already had my bagel.
I'm always rushing in.
Stole one for later.
Yeah.
I've been reading about how, like, horrible.
That's terrible that you did that.
You probably know this.
What's that?
How horrible, like, white bread is for you and bagels and things like that.
Yeah.
That's basically just sugar.
Yeah. Well, who knew?
I did.
Yeah, I did. But
it's not sugary. You know, it's not like
it's
Skittles.
Yeah, but it's, what do they call it? The type of flour. I don't know.
You're getting out here.
Well, anyway, I had a wheat bagel this morning because I'm getting freaked out by everybody telling me how bad white bread is and things like that.
Yeah, it's,
you know,
full of glutens.
You worry about all the food that's bad for you. You stop enjoying food. You know what I'm saying? Like, I started to go with the brown rice whenever I got Chinese food.
You don't like brown rice?
No.
I do.
It doesn't seem to. It never seems to be cooked fully, for one thing. And when I went back to white rice, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like, I never appreciated white rice until I had brown rice. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, all right. Oh, that's a fair point.
It's kind of like Joaquin Soria.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Until he blew a save, you couldn't appreciate him. Yeah. All right, here are your injuries, news, and notes. Carlos Gonzalez left with a calf contusion. He's day-to-day. We talked about him on the video show yesterday, but let's talk about him now. How worried are you about Cargo, the original Cargo, who has knee tendonitis, a bad finger since May 1st, now a calf contusion, and has overall been underwhelming and not stealing bases?
Yeah, I don't worry about I do worry about the stolen base aspect of his production because it's related to one of his injuries. But I'm just more worried about the injuries piling up in general.
I don't see how people could not be worried about Carlos Gonzalez at this point. I don't want to sound the alarm and be like he's going to stink the rest of the year, but I just don't think you can be like, hey, he's cargo, he'll be fine, he's going to have a huge year. This is worrisome to me.
I dropped him a bit. I think three spots in my ranking. So it's
to
not
what?
To ninth, I think.
And I have him at 11th.
If you were drafting today,
ninth.
Second round pick, yes. Third round pick?
Not a first round pick. Probably second round pick.
I'd say probably third. I've got him now behind Jones and Puig, who I think of as late second rounders at best.
Yeah, you're probably right. Point. If I have him 11th.
Right. And,
yeah,
and I think
probably
that's
third.
Kind just, of what I was getting at, because he was a first round pick for a lot of people just
yeah.
8 weeks ago. But but people expected steals from him. And I don't think you can expect that now. Is that fair?
I think it is fair.
Yes.
All right. Noah Syndergaard does not have a major elbow injury. Yu Darvish was scratched with a stiff neck. Still no decision on Clay Buchholz remaining in the rotation. He hurt his knee Monday, apparently hyperextended it. They should just lie and put him on the DL already. Yordano Ventura does not have a serious elbow injury. He's going to have a start skipped, but hopefully he'll be back next week. So that's good to know. Carlos Santana's on the 7-day concussion DL. Lonnie Chisenhall did not start at third base against the lefty, which was Chris Sale. Tough lefty.
Yeah.
But then he came in and he pinch hit and he went 1-for-3.
I was really hoping to see him start, though, because it's not just Santana. Swisher's on the DL as well. It's like,
yeah,
eventually.
The guys they're going with are not like Aguilar.
Right.
I mean, I truthfully don't even know who these guys are.
Yeah, no, I mean, Aguilar's an okay prospect with some power. They had Rayburn in the
right,
lineup.
Right, yeah, I know him.
Yeah. But, yeah, I'm just saying, yeah, it seems like there would be an opportunity to give Chisenhall a shot, even against a lefty.
Yeah, I mean, I wonder if they're going to start putting Mike Avilas there with Kipnis back probably today.
It's a good thought.
I hope not.
That would be annoying. I mean, I can't. The main reason I can't buy into Chisenhall fully, despite what he's doing and the pedigree and all that, is because he's not an everyday player. And until I see him do this every day, I don't know if it's legit or not. And obviously, the production is going to be down too.
As Scott mentioned, Nick Swisher's on the DL with a knee injury. Evan Gattis, day to day with a wrist injury, apparently not serious. Justin Masterson and Chris Sale both pitched only 3 innings due to the rain. Yasmani Grandal left yesterday's game with a hand injury. X-rays were negative, but he probably won't play today.
So, because, yeah, nobody needs a catcher in fantasy.
I dropped him for John Jaso, who I was very happy to get. I had high hopes for Grandal, but...
Yeah, but that's three...
High-ish hopes as a number two catcher.
3 catcher injuries he just rattled off there. Santana and Gattis.
Santana, right. And Jaso got hit on the arm yesterday, but then he homered afterwards. Is Tony Cingrani in danger of being sent down when Matt Latos returns?
Yeah, he is.
Some danger.
Well,
stranger danger.
He got good news yesterday with Alfredo Simon's bad start.
Yeah.
James Paxton's going to be shut down 5 to 7 days with shoulder inflammation. Remember, he was very close to coming back, so now he's shut down a week. Andrelton Simmons left with ankle inflammation. He says it's been a nagging thing, but Freddy Gonzalez says it's not serious. Will Venable's been out with a foot injury. Travis d'Arnaud expected back today. And Yovani Gallardo hit a walk-off double against Baltimore. Before we grade trades, these three players sat for a lefty yesterday. Charlie Blackmon, Ryan Howard, and Dominic Brown.
Well, Blackman's obviously the most valuable one, and this is the third straight lefty he's sat against. So that is lame. And it's not his fault. He's hit lefties well. Walt Weiss is just likes to mix up the lineup.
It's the new Bob Melvin.
I guess, but to his detriment.
Well, but you can't argue with the success. They're playing pretty well.
They'd be playing better if Blackmon was playing against lefties. I'm willing to say.
Okay.
But look, I mean... I don't know that it changes anything for me yet. Obviously, Blackman's cooled off a bit, as he was bound to. I mean, I still see him as more or less a must-start player. But if this continues much longer, you're going to have to consider sitting him in the weeks they face 3-plus lefties.
You know, we could sit here, we could bemoan Charlie Blackmon sitting, or we can go and pick up Drew Stubbs in Roto Leagues because he's getting steals and hitting for average.
Do you expect him to keep hitting for average?
I can't imagine. Well, yeah, that's one thing.
Yeah,
but maybe
not,
if he only hits
so sure.
against lefties.
That's my thought. And I'm saying that like I'm convinced, but actually I'm not. But it's certainly worth a try in some deeper roto formats.
Yeah, like I can't in our 12-team roto leagues. There's no way. And Dominic Brown sitting. All right.
Well, I don't worry so much about the Brown thing, but Howard, Ryan Sandberg did say now that Ruff is back, this is a possibility. Ruff and Howard could be in a full-fledged platoon, which might ruin whatever value Howard still has in mixed leagues.
And Ruff homered.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, what do you think? Deep formats here. NL only, maybe. Ruff.
Ruff, yeah.
Well, he needs to be owned in NL only, I think.
Right. Before we grade trades, how about some food for thought?
Yeah,
I think
food.
I was just sorry. I shouldn't have even said that word, the F word. I was just alluding to this. Is it me or has catcher been an extremely disappointing position in fantasy?
I don't feel that way at all.
No, I don't.
I mean, the
recent injuries are annoying.
The fact that Carlos Santana is like the fifth best catcher in points leagues right now
says a lot about Santana.
No, says a lot about catcher. He's batting below 200. I don't care about the walks.
He has like 40 walks and 7 home runs. I mean, that's...
All right, fine. How about Buster Posey?
He ranks pretty high at third, too. I mean, third has been lame, but...
Yeah, but third's been right up there with catcher.
But still, you'd expect catchers since they lose at bats. I think between Mesoraco's breakthrough, Miguel Montero's breakthrough...
Miguel Montero's been pretty ordinary lately.
Last 2 weeks, but still, season as a whole... He hasn't lost must-start status in my eyes.
The number two catchers have been fine in that respect, but Posey is batting .261 with a .406 slugging percentage, and he's a number three catcher.
Well, it's the big three of Mauer, Posey, Santana. I think that maybe creates too much of a perception.
McCann, Salvador Perez, Willian Rosario, Evan Gattis, and Roto.
Adam.
Points.
Look at our 12. Look at our podcast league.
I just
dropped Devin Mesoraco because I have Yadier Molina.
Because you have two of the best catchers.
I tried trading him. Nobody needed him. Nobody needed a catcher in a 12-team league.
Nobody's ready to give up on their catcher. Like if I had Salvador Perez, nobody's been disappointed.
And that's the thing. Yeah, Perez. I mean, that's a real interesting one because the batting average is way too low for him, and he's not striking out at a higher rate than he did last year, and he's got very few RBI, but he's hitting, I actually wrote it down here, it's like 120-something with runners in scoring position after hitting 377 last year. So he overperformed last year. But yeah, 122 with runners in scoring position for Perez.
And meanwhile, Jonathan Lucroy's having a great year. We don't really talk about him. But I think McCann in particular has been horrible. Rosario's been pretty bad, although he homered yesterday. Mauer maybe coming around a little bit. I look at it as disappointing.
I think it's a lot of guys, and Perez, I think, highlights the list for me, but a lot of guys who can come around. McCann, Rosario, they're not complete disasters.
And that's why I think nobody's going to trade for catcher because everybody expects these guys to come around, which I get.
The one guy I thought I had a chance with was the Gattis owner because Gattis doesn't play enough in my eyes. I don't know. He's not outside of my top 12 yet in head-to-head. He's 11th, but he's getting there. But I couldn't pull it off.
Dropped Mesoraco?
Yeah, I wanted Alex Wood. And like the conversation we had yesterday, I couldn't find anybody to drop for Liriano. Mesoraco, in a points league where I don't like having bench hitters anyway.
Well, I might have to pick him up.
You might have to. I want to blame you. I didn't want to drop him.
I have Carlos Santana, or I would.
I didn't want to drop him.
I keep trying to get all these guys. I did get Alex Wood. I didn't get, what's his name, Liriano?
Yeah.
All right, Mesoraco, you're next.
Go for it.
Poor Rafael Montero. I try to drop him for everyone. All right. Food for thought number two. Do Adam Lind and Juan Francisco have more value than we give them credit for despite their sitting against lefties? They both homered yesterday.
Oh, man. I feel like we have to do this every year with Adam Lind. So, no. he fell off last year. I expect him to fall off this pace. And really, when we talk about falling off the pace, it's the batting average.
Right. He's hitting .341.
Yeah.
How about Juan Francisco?
I mean, we've been talking about that for a while now. We saw it. Last week, they faced four lefties. he sat most of the week. I don't know if he got a start against any of them or not, but it's those weeks, maybe not four, but the two and three at a time, and him not being able to maintain the batting average himself with as much as he strikes out, I think you're talking about a deeper league option.
I got him at corner infield, and I sat him last week, and I started him this week. You know, I think if you play the matchups with him, you might want to ride the hot streak to a degree. All right, is there something to this Andre Ethier hot streak? He's batting .333 with a one home run, 11 RBI, seven doubles in May. But in his last 28 days, not even a top 50 outfielder. Not a lot of at-bats, though. He's going to get more at-bats. But, you know, still not hitting for a lot of power. Anyway, 23% owned, Andre Ethier.
Yeah, it's just
and
been
now an everyday player.
Yeah, now an everyday player. But it's just been, you know, he's had a lot of time being close to an everyday player over the last several years, and it's been quite a while since we've seen him really hit for power. And I feel like if he doesn't do that he's, you know, he's not going to be, what did you say, top 50? I don't think he will be in the top 50.
All right, would you rather have Lorenzo Cain or Andre Ethier?
That's tough.
I'd rather have Ethier.
I think I'd rather have Cain. It would depend. If I were set for steals, I probably would rather have Ethier, but all things being equal, I'll go Cain.
How about that other guy I was going to ask you about? Ozuna. Or Ethier.
I'll go Ethier there.
I think I actually have Ozuna ahead, though Ethier, because of plate discipline, I could see him outperforming Ozuna in points leagues if this isn't a full-fledged breakout.
Food for thought item number four. Do people need to add Chris Davis with a K before it's too late? He homered again.
Yeah, I mean, now would be the time.
I just can't bring myself to move him back up again. I'm not sure where he excels that, like, Ozuna doesn't. Well, and Ozuna's not must-own.
Yeah, I think
Ozuna's Davis been hitting home runs.
Yeah, but yes. Ozuna's probably ranks fairly high. He's had a good year. You guys sort of have dismissed it because he's been hot and cold.
Yeah, I think Davis, I don't know that Davis will necessarily be worse for batting average than Ozuna. I think he will hit for more home run power. And I think he'll play more than Ozuna.
And he's got a better park.
And he has a better park, although,
with the fact that the Marlins cheat so much at home, Al. No, just kidding.
That's a plus for Ozuna, I guess.
Yeah. What were you saying before I interrupted you with my stupid joke?
No, just, I think Davis will actually play a little more than Ozuna, too.
Okay. And is Justin Upton going to have a career year? He's only 26. Young guy.
Yeah, I mean, because of the age, it's a distinct possibility. We saw him get off to a very hot start last year, too. It was more April than April and May, and then cooled off. So I'm not willing to say, yes, this is definitely it, but if he repeats that line from 2011, maybe trading off a few steals for more home runs, it wouldn't surprise me.
Well, he had 31 home runs in 2011 with 21 steals. We also scored 105 runs and batted .289. Right now, Upton's batting .311 with 5 steals and 13 home runs. So you think he could get to 31?
Yeah, I do.
Okay. It's great, some trades.
Well, before we leave the segment behind, every time you bring this up, food for thought, reminds me, did you ever see the show Dinosaurs?
Of course.
Yeah.
Not the mama?
Yeah. Do you remember, like, the food on the plate would talk to them?
No.
And
the only thing I remember about that show is not the mama.
Yeah. So, like, the food on the plate would talk, and then, like, the father dinosaur would say, food for thought, thought from food.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. So I think about every time we have this segment.
I watched it. I don't know, maybe a year ago. I don't even know how it was on. Maybe a YouTube. I think I YouTubed it.
It was still funny, right?
No, it was terrible.
Really?
It was Godzilla bad.
Wow, I thought that show was hilarious.
I did too. You know what? I'll give it another shot. Today, I'm going to watch it. I'll let everyone know.
It's been a long time since I've seen it too.
Did you remember Not the Mama?
I didn't watch it when it was actually out.
Oh.
But I watched it in my teens, maybe when it was being replayed on the Disney Channel or something.
Okay.
Can I mention them? Is that allowed?
Oh, no. I'll bleep it. No, the CBS channel. All right. AJ Varis says, "Hey, Rick, Daryl, and Carl." And apparently I'm Carl, but I have no idea who these guys are.
They're from The Walking Dead.
Oh, I don't want to be Carl.
Well, Carl is the now adolescent boy.
Oh, okay.
So,
Gray the Trade.
Take a shot.
Giveaway, Rios and Pence. Rios and Pence. Get back Baltimore's Chris Davis and either Jason Wirth or Matt Holliday. Giving up Rios and Pence for Chris Davis and Wirth or Holliday.
I would do it for Davis and Holliday. And that would be a good trade. It would be, because we're grading it here, that would be a B.
I'll take Wirth and still give it a B.
You'd rather have Davis and Wirth, okay, or Davis and Holliday. Eric Spletzer, giving up Alexei Ramirez and Springer for Mike Trout.
That is an A.
That is an A plus 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 plus.
Tom Arnold, T-H-O-M-A-R-N-O-L-D-T. Not the other Tom Arnold.
Right.
Wow, that is a weird...
His name
it's
might
like
actually
he really
be normal,
wanted to distinguish
Tom
himself,
Arnold, but he
from,
might have had to do this.
Yeah, it's the only way he could get a moment's peace.
Yeah. I gave Pedroia for Iwakuma in a 16-team 6x6 roto league with OPS and strikeout to walk ratio. I need pitching. So giving up Pedroia, getting Iwakuma.
I would give this lower than a C if not for the strikeout to walk ratio. But because it's that, I will give it an even C.
I'll still get a C minus.
From Joshua, 12-team head-to-head categories league. I give Justin Upton and Max Scherzer. I get Mike Trout and Justin Verlander. Ooh, I like this one. Block busting. Upton and Scherzer to get Trout and Verlander.
This isn't an A and seven pluses. It's good. I do want the Trout side, but man, I dropped Verlander to like 24th or something. I will give it a I'll give it a B.
I'm giving it a C minus. I don't want
wow.
this trade.
Wow. You're
that distrustful of Verlander.
I
huh?
am. Yep.
Wow.
Can I tell you guys something? I completely ignored your advice from yesterday.
Uh-huh.
I haven't offered the trade. I asked the owner in person, and he's thinking about it, but I verbally offered the trade. I am going to give up Jared Weaver to get Justin Verlander. You guys both said on the video show yesterday that you'd rather have Weaver, but you both had to think about it. It wasn't a slam dunk.
It's yeah. one spot behind.
And after the show, I researched a column where I realized Weaver's got some problems of his own.
I don't know how he's doing it. And last night's start was okay. Quality start, 6 innings, 3 runs. But again, his stuff is just so... Well, his fastball.
It's always been that way.
But it's every year. It's another mile per hour down.
That doesn't bother me.
And I know he's getting it done.
He's not a stuff guy.
But I still think he's a bit of a sell high guy. And I like Weaver. I'm not just going to give him away for anything. But I think there's still a lot more upside with Verlander. If he can straighten things out.
I agree with that absolutely. And with Weaver, and I say this all the time when we talk about him, that what makes him really great in fantasy is that he does everything besides strike players out really, really well. And now he's not pitching with such great control. So,
More recently he has, right?
Well, it was 3 walks in this game. I think the strike to ball ratio was not that good. And on the whole for a season, it's under 62%, which is not terrible. But again, for a guy like Weaver, who you need him to have really excellent control to keep up with the top pitchers,
yeah.
that's a little distressing to me.
I don't have the game log in front of me, but I was under the impression like the first 3 or 4 starts were pretty crummy, and since then he's been lights out. Now, this wasn't one of his better starts.
Oh,
but it was...
Before today, he was on one hell of a hot streak. There's no question. And again, I like Weaver. I drafted him in a couple leagues and didn't shy away from it. But it's a 16-team league, and sometimes in those leagues, only one person can win. So I'm making sort of a swing for the fences potentially deal here. And the guy I said it to is like, hey, would you want to give up Verlander for Weaver? He's like, oh, Verlander's been crap. So I think I can make it happen.
Yeah.
And I think I'll do it.
No, I don't. I think you need pitching depth. Like, if Verlander is this same guy the rest of the year, I'd want the assurance that I'll still be okay at starting pitcher.
I have pitching depth.
Yeah. Especially since it's a 16-team league, and you're not going to find anything on waivers.
Yeah, Weaver walked one in a complete game against Houston in his previous start. He walked 3 and 7 innings against Tampa Bay in the start before that. But before that, he wasn't really walking anyone. All right, moving on. Back to the grade the trades here. We go to Ron, Andy. Dear Ron, Andy, and Tom. This is from Sean in Portland, Oregon. I didn't get hardly any of the greetings today.
Ron, Andy, and Tom is Parks and Recreation.
This is Scott just, this White, just, ladies and gentlemen.
They're in my wheelhouse here, my TV wheelhouse.
10-team standard mixed roto league. I give Dominic Brown, I get Corey Kluber.
B+.
I will agree. That's a good grade. B+.
This one is from Chris in ICT.
Grade the grade.
Where's ICT?
ICT.
ICT is somewhere in space. He's an astronaut.
You're on fire. Dear Topps Fleer and Don Russ.
You know that one?
Those I know.
Card collector.
Trading cards that my dad said were stupid and wouldn't let me buy. 12-team head-to-head points league, 8 keepers. I give up Springer and Sonny Gray. I get Wainwright. I have Latos and Cashner on my bench. Giving up Springer and Gray to get Wainwright.
Well, yeah, what I want to know is the rest of Chris's outfield, but that's it. It's a good trade. I'm just trying to figure out how good.
A-.
Yeah, not like it that much.
B+. B+. You talk me down. The harsh grader over here talking me down.
Yeah, I'm giving it a B.
Arbar Todd, listening to Tuesday's podcast, the downgrade of Matt Kemp made me resubmit a grade the trade for a regrade, kind of like summer school. I'm trying to raise my C- grade from last time. I really want to get into a good grad school. All right, 12-team head-to-head category league, 5x5 dynasty. You got to keep at least 15 players and up to 20 of your 25. Starting pitching is scarce and valuable. So I give up Kemp and Cingrani in a keeper league, a dynasty league. You're keeping just about everyone. Give up Kemp and Cingrani. I get Chu, Jared Weaver, and Chris Archer.
I don't know why. I wouldn't have given this a bad grade in the first place. I don't think. Was I on this show?
I don't know.
How long ago was this? Okay, anyway. So Cingrani is barely, he might be outside my top 50 now, starting pitcher, since he's at risk of losing his job. And I like Chu better than Kemp anyway. Weaver and Art. Yeah, this is really good.
B+ for me.
Yeah, this is. I'll give it an A-. I'm not letting you talk me down this time.
But you left out the best part of this whole email.
Well, here it is in Scott White format.
Yeah.
Where he specifies who he gives and who he gets. Yeah.
Very nice.
Scott's been doing a lot better with that lately. Here's an email from Randy. Keeper League. I give Springer, Donaldson, and Carpenter. I get Trout, Seager, and Jerko.
I don't know that I want to give up Trout. That's
no, you're getting
Trout. I know.
You can't. No more breakfast for you, dude.
It's not the most important meal of the day for Scott.
No way.
Yeah.
Yeah, all right. Giving up Springer, Donaldson, and Carpenter, getting Trout, Seager, and Jerko in a keeper league.
Ooh.
I do not like this.
No?
No, I think the downgrade at third and second is too much.
Yeah, I don't think it's sizable, no doubt.
Donaldson and Carpenter for Seago and Jerko, and you're upgrading for Springer to Trout.
I still want the Trout side to me. He's that valuable, especially in a keeper league. You know, especially if you're talking about just 3 or 4 keepers per team.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, but like Springer, let's say he's going to be kept. It's a deep enough league where you're keeping. Like, is it so unrealistic that Springer's not as good, but not as good as Trout? But let's say Springer is a 2016 first-round draft pick because he's so good next year.
Oh, no, I think that's totally reasonable, and I still...
I'm not expecting it. It could happen. I'm not... It's dangerous to expect that.
I still want to build my team around Mike Trout.
Okay.
And I'm not giving up too much to do that. So B-.
And Seager and Jerko are, in a sense, buy-low candidates.
You know, 2016... Jerko might be better than Carpenter.
Yeah.
Maybe.
3 up. We're kind of running out of time here. Let's see what we can do. All right, 3 up. Tell me if you have upgraded any of these guys. Everett Cabrera, hitting pretty well right now. And Very encouraging, 7 out of 8 in steal attempts this month. Oswaldo Arcia, and it is Arcia, not Arcia, as I've been saying, doubled and homered yesterday, and he's only 23 years old for the Minnesota Twins. And Gordon Beckham, last 28 days, top 9 second baseman, and he's batting like 330 in that stretch. So you'd think he'd be a little higher, but, you know, he's playing pretty well. So 296, 4 home runs, and he homered yesterday and doubled. We got Everett Cabrera, Oswaldo Arcia, and Gordon Beckham.
And I didn't upgrade Cabrera because I didn't downgrade him. Beckham, just still not buying it. And Arcia, that's how I'm supposed to pronounce it? Mm-hmm. That's going to take some getting used to.
So much trouble.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I need to, in my update today, get him back in my top 100 outfielders.
You know, I agonized last week, Scott, in maybe it was 2 weeks ago, about whether to drop Everett Cabrera when I had Yanhervis Solarte playing short. And I think you picked up Cabrera in that league as a points league, one shortstop.
Yeah, it's the spectacular.
Yeah, and I think I dropped both shortstops that I drafted in that league, Andrelton Simmons and Everett Cabrera. And I don't know if I made the right choice with Solarte over Cabrera.
We could trade.
You'd rather have Solarte?
I would.
It's how you make it happen.
I don't know. Solarte, you know, in a league like that, the position eligibility thing for Solarte is not quite as valuable. But he is in four down. So let's talk about four down. Jed Jerko. Would you drop Jed Jerko? Are you guys ready to give up on him? He's batting 167.
It's hard to find reasons to stick with him, but I will stick with him.
Only in Roto for me. I think second base is deep enough that even if he goes off, you won't miss him that much.
Solarte, last 12 games, 152, 204 on base, 217 slugging. Does remind me of a 9-game stretch late April, early May, in which he hit 147, so basically identical batting average, 275 on base, a little bit better, and a 206 slugging percentage, even worse. So he was he basically had the same exact stretch, and then he got hot again.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't. His walk-to-strikeout ratio is tremendous, 20 walks, 21 Ks on the year. Do you rather have him than Everett Cabrera?
In a points league.
How about you, Al?
Yes, I would.
No, I wouldn't.
I just don't know what to make of Solarte. I don't think he's a 310 hitter. I think he's like a 280 hitter.
Yeah.
And he seems to always regress to that.
Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Which is where he's at now.
There's nothing wrong with that, but I agree. I think up to prior to the slump, he had been overperforming.
I think there's a better chance he hits 290 than 270 with his contact skills, his extra base power. I'm going to stick with the Martin Prado comparison, and I mean that in a good way. You know, I have to keep saying that.
Right. But, he homered.
Yeah, he did. Prado. But I'm not going to get caught up on the streaks with Solarte. I'm on board with him. I'm staying on board with him despite what he's done in his last 9 games or whatever.
Have you guys downgraded Justin Morneau or Will Myers?
No, and if the slump goes on long enough for Morneau, I will. Because I feel like I went on a little bit of a limb to upgrade him in the first place. But Myers, no. Not for the foreseeable future.
I did downgrade Myers. And it had as much to do with what else I was putting off upgrading in the outfield. Specifically, Brantley, Melky Cabrera. That guy we were just talking about.
Springer.
Springer, yeah. I moved him ahead of Myers.
You have Melky ahead of Myers?
Yeah, I do.
What about in Roto?
Even in Roto.
Okay. Myers still, what, top 30 or no?
Well, if Springer's 28th and Myers is behind him, I'm going to guess he's just outside the top 30.
Okay.
So still, I mean, needs to be owned in all leagues, but I'm not.
Is he a buy low?
He's not untouchable.
Will Myers, would you guys want to make a play for him?
Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Would you rather start Juan Francisco or Justin Morneau at your corner infield spot?
Justin Morneau. 8 days of the week.
Yup.
Okay. Six-man rotation. Tim Hudson, 7 shutout innings, 6 hits, 5 strikeouts, no walks.
He's really good.
Incredible. Phil Hughes, 7 innings, 8 hits, 3 runs, no walks, 3 strikeouts. And Aaron Hicks made such a good catch last night to rob, I think it was Donnie Murphy, of a three-run homer, ended up being a sac fly. So two runs off the board on Aaron Hicks's amazing catch. Okay, what about Hughes, guys? Anything to say here?
I feel like, yeah, this doesn't really change anything in terms of his value. I thought it was interesting that he got out Phil Hughes'd by Scott Baker. They're really kind of similar in terms of what they can do in fantasy. And, you know, we talked about this being, you know, kind of a nice matchup for Hughes being at home against a Rangers lineup that hasn't really done a whole lot. But it turned out to be an even better matchup for Scott Baker.
Zach Greinke, would you sell high on him? He's been amazing. And his numbers look pretty similar to his 2009 season. Did he win the Cy Young that year?
I think that was the Cy Young year.
Well, it was his best year with Kansas City.
Yeah, that it must have been. I mean,
I just
low 2 ERA.
I didn't remember if he won a Cy
Young.
Yeah,
he did.
Yeah. He looks like the Cy Young year right now. What do you guys think?
I don't really see him as a sell high. I think there have been enough issues with the aces in fantasy. Jose Fernandez going down and Justin Verlander getting buried. I said Verlander.
Yeah,
right?
It's okay. You regressed.
You've been on a streak.
Yeah. Don't worry. You're having a strong show so far.
But if I had Greinke and I just thank my lucky stars that I had somebody that good, because not everyone's so lucky with their stars.
All right, let's do this really quickly, guys. Any worries about Alex Cobb?
No.
Alfredo Simon, we kind of talked about him. Whatever. Yeah. Aaron Harang, 85% owned. Another good start.
Yeah.
I'm coming around.
Yeah. I don't know that I mean, 7 hits in 6 innings, 37 hits in 29 and a third innings in his last 5 starts. And that's not including the Marlins disaster. I left that out, and he's still been getting hit. But still been giving up a lot of hits.
1 walk, 7 strikeouts.
Right, but the strikeouts, they'd kind of disappeared before this start, too.
Yeah, and the Red Sox are among, or at least going to this game, were among the top 10 teams in strikeout rate. So it's a good matchup. And I think Harang gets the Marlins next.
Okay.
Which should be interesting. But they strike out a lot, too. So could be a good week.
I have McHugh over Harang. That was one of the guys McHugh passed for me.
How about you?
Harang still.
Who are your three favorites in this group? Matt Garza, Roenis Elias, Wade Miley, Jorge De La Rosa, Jonathan Nice.
Nice and Miley. And I don't really like Miley too much at home. This was a home start, but go ahead, say it, Adam. It was the Padres.
Oh, it was the Padres. Doesn't count.
Right.
Ernesto Frieri got the save yesterday. He did struggle, though. He walked a batter. He walked two batters, and he gave up a hit and a run. That stops a stretch of 6 straight scoreless appearances. Only 6 walks this year for Frieri. Henry Mejia, 2 innings, got a save. Vic Black also pitched in relief, pitched well. Jason Grilli struck out the side, gave up a hit in a non-save situation. And Ronald Belisario got the save for the White Sox. Scoreless inning, 9th inning in a 1-run game, pitched well.
Perfect inning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Great the Trade Part 2. I don't know how much we'll get to here. We're running a little long. Dan in the UK says, "Dear Prince William, Prince Harry, and Princess Kate, traded
Duchess Kate." Just saying.
Is it?
I don't know. I think Dan in the UK would know better than I would, but I keep hearing her called the Duchess.
Really?
Oh, I interesting. Didn't know that. But yeah.
Oh,
I will,
crap. I don't know. I'm sorry, Dan. Sorry for questioning.
Should
you
really apologize to Kate.
Kate doesn't care.
Traded Greg Holland and K-Rod for Ellsbury in a 10-team Roto League. I had lots of closers, and I needed speed. So he gave up Holland and K-Rod for Ellsbury.
You got lots of closers. I hope you have at least one really reliable one left. Those might have been your two best ones. But I think it's a fair deal.
I'd do it. I'd do it. B.
Yeah, B. That's my grade.
Dear Oddball, Big Joe, and Crap Game.
I don't know what it is, but I like it.
Me too. I have plenty of steals. I need to get rid of some players. I'd like to get an elite pitcher. 10-team, 5x5. I give D. Gordon, Melky, and Sonny Gray.
I'm sorry, Melky Mesa?
Yeah, Melky Mesa. D. Gordon, Melky Cabrera, and Sonny Gray. I get Hunter Pence and Felix Hernandez. You get an A from me.
No, not even close to an A.
Come on.
It's a win.
He doesn't need D. Gordon.
Those are the two best players, but... I guess if he has plenty of steals.
B plus.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I was going to say B, but with the contextual extra credit, B plus.
That was Rich from Pensacola. Jays fan DD is in a dynasty league. I give Iwakuma and Solarte. I get Felix Hernandez and Brian Roberts. Ooh, a Mariners-Yankees trade. Throw in Pineda and Jesus Montero. Now, all right, giving up Iwakuma and Solarte, getting Felix Hernandez and Brian Roberts.
C plus.
Oh, okay. Good. I was afraid you were going to take the Felix side. I do think I like the Iwakuma side,
too. He is taking the Felix side.
Oh, done. Scott White. That time, that time wasn't on purpose.
Hashtag Scott White. Go ahead, grade it real quick. We got to go.
C minus.
Joshua Smith, grade the trade. I give Kluber and Yordano Ventura. I get Chris Sale and Kyle Loesch, and he made the trade before the Ventura injury. So Kluber and Ventura for Sale and Loesch.
You don't want, we're not giving out sympathy grades here. Why do we need that information?
No, I think, worked out for him.
Yeah, no, I think we're saying
Scott White.
Yeah, no, I think we're saying you know, he's not a jerk. He's letting us know he's not a jerk.
Oh, okay. Sorry.
This is a great trade. It's a B plus at least.
Yeah, it's the neighborhood I'm.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah, okay, good trade. I'll take B your plus. B plus. Yeah.
Josh says, I get Top Gun, I give Mission Impossible.
Yeah, see, I haven't seen the Mission Impossible movies.
D.
I never saw Mission Impossible. I saw Top Gun a few months ago for the first time ever. Weird, I know. I didn't really think it was so great.
It's so 80s.
Yeah, it's so 80s.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, and, there's not much to it.
I think I might have even said this on the air. I can't remember a movie in which the stakes were so low. It's not like they're actually in a war or anything like that. It concludes with like these war games that are like somewhat kind of risky. Like the stakes
are so low.
Somebody
dies. Spoiler alert.
I know, but he died in like an exercise.
Yeah,
I think. You know, it wasn't like war.
Yeah, I was kind of confused when he died, to be perfectly honest.
Well, okay. Anyway, Jason Smith.
That's incomplete then.
Yeah, I don't want to give it away just for all the people out there who haven't seen.
Come
Top
on.
Gun.
I think after 30 years, the spoiler alert is or almost 30.
His death was so. Like, you weren't sure that he died at first. Like,
yeah,
he could have easily escaped.
Oh, why is he so upset?
Really not a very good movie.
Yeah.
Jason Smith gave up Miguel Cabrera and Irvin Santana. He got Felix Hernandez, David Wright, and Joey Votto in a 12-team 5x5 head-to-head 7-keeper league.
We haven't... The podcast hasn't ended. We're just thinking.
Yeah. That's a tough one because, you know, we look and say, oh, you're giving up Miggy.
Miggy.
Go, 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 go.
Oh, that is such an extreme overpay for Miggy, for the guy who got Miggy, that you, as the one giving up Miggy, I'm willing to give a B minus. Did that make sense?
Yeah.
All right.
Al?
Yeah, no, I was going D plus. I feel like that's too harsh, though. I'll upgrade to C minus. Scott, you move me up.
Timothy Forbes traded Homer Bailey and Masterson for V-Mart in a Dynasty League.
Dynasty League? Oh, that hurts, I think, because V-Mart has very little keeper appeal. I say C minus. If it was seasonal, you'd win the trade. But
John in Portland, I give Jose Abreu and George Springer. I get Jose Bautista, Corey Kluber, and Steve Cishek. Giving up Abreu and Springer for Bautista, Kluber, and Cishek.
Now back out of dynasty mode, I will call that a C+.
I will call that just a C.
Okay. Bye, everyone. Longest podcast ever. See you.